Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, the PGA Tour returns at long last after that lengthy two-week vacation. We're back. We have thoughts on the Napa opener, plus some drama over on the DP World Tour with the LIV players in action and an LPGA highlight as usual. We're tuned into Halloween hype and an exciting announcement from my co-host. This week's guest is Chrissy Smith from the Hyatt property out in New Mexico that we just visited and had such an awesome time at. She dishes on everything about the brand, the property, the location, and some behind the scenes of some bachelorette filming on property as well. Plus pumpkin desserts and French toast when we always end with food. All of it brought to you by our pals at Desert Fox Golf. When we were out there on our trip, Mike, the phone caddy was an essential way to start the day. For anyone who knows what it's like to be riding around and have your phone in the golf cart, it can be a nerve-wracking situation. The Desert Fox phone caddy puts all of that nervousness to rest because it's a nice, safe, tight, compact place for you to keep your phone safe and secure at all times. So check out desertfoxgolf.com. We love this phone caddy, which is why we talk about it every week. It's our go-to accessory on the court, on the cart, and on the course. And they've got more coming too. So check out their full line of products at desertfoxgolf.com. Promo code Course of Life. Desertfoxgolf.com. Promo code Course of Life to save 10% off today.
Hello, interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and D3 Golf. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, it was quiet on the U.S. side, at least in the men's game, but there was a lot of drama across the pond for the DP World Tour BMW PGA Championship.
Yes, their flagship event. Yeah,
the flagship event for a number of reasons. Of course, there was the first. There was LIV players in the field. Several of them being allowed to play. There was all this hubbubaloo over that going on. And let's start at the beginning. Let's kind of work our way through the week here, because first we had that Billy Horschel and Ian Poulter brouhaha on the putting green.
Yes, and we needed just a few more overhead mics. I know if you were there on the production crew, you would have just shamelessly got the overhead mic so we could have gotten that full conversation. But you kind of got the gist of it looking at the video, a very heated exchange between Billy Horschel, one of the main PGA Tour cheerleaders and proponents against everything LIV Golf has done to the game, and Ian Poulter, one of the first guys to jet to LIV Golf, in a very open conversation. I'm sure it probably had a little something to do with the fact that Poulter, Patrick Reed, and others were wearing the LIV Golf logo on premises when they were asked nicely not to. So that was the start of the beef, maybe. There was a lot going on in that conversation elsewhere besides that. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall, but you could see that it was pretty animated in the first official sparring between a PGA Tour and a LIV player that we've really gotten on document now.
Yeah, and there was a lot of interviews that came out early in the week as well of Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry kind of saying they didn't want these LIV guys there. There were some of them maybe deserved to be there because they had put in a lot of their career and time on the DP World Tour, formerly the
qualified
European
for
Tour,
the event. Yeah,
qualified for the event and were longer. But there were others that maybe didn't belong to be there. I don't know, a Taylor Gooch, perhaps a Patrick Reed, those kind of guys, and maybe didn't really belong in this kind of event. And then we had, you know, as the golf started, we had the earth-shattering news that the Queen had died. So play stopped on Thursday.
It did, yes.
Play did not happen on Friday. And the question arose, would this be shortened to a 54-hole event? Would there be a cut? Because if there was no cut, there would be no world golf ranking points.
Oh, big shame for the guys who are looking to scrape up some free points. I know.
Wouldn't that just be horrible? So the golf went on. The golf played.
Yep.
And let's just talk about Sergio Garcia for a second before we talk about anything else.
Because Austin, Texas resident Sergio Garcia.
Garcia goes out there, shoots a 76 in his first round, and then says, I'm going to hook him horns. And he jolts away and he withdraws. And so he forced his way into this tournament, took a spot away from deserving guys out there in the DP World Tour that are grinding and could have had a fantastic opportunity. And then he only plays one round and he leaves. So how much do we hate Sergio Garcia right now?
Yeah, man, it's such a conflicting state I'm in with Sergio, especially with everything in the LIV Golf drama. You know, he's one of those guys that's obviously, from an American golf fan perspective, been very easily hateable over the rivalry years with Tiger, yes, or the Ryder Cup rivalries of the past decades. So he's been in a lot of adversarial positions already in my mind. Now, knowing him and seeing what he does in Austin and the community, there's parts of me that want to embrace Sergio. Mike, I try to keep him on my team, but he makes it so hard. And this is yet another step in his actions personally against the DP World Tour, who helped thwart his entire career and get him on an international stage at a young level when he was a teenager before he ever played on the PGA Tour. So that's neither here nor there, but a kind of very disrespectful sign. He flies all the way across the world and lo and behold, on the sideline Saturday for Texas, Alabama. Clearly gave no Fs toward the DP World Tour this past week.
None whatsoever. And we did have an exciting finish to the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth. Shane Lowry, Rory McIlroy, John Rahm, all going super low during the weekend and trying to secure their W. And Shane Lowry, the Irishman, closes the deal with Rory right behind him. Not surprising at the way this finished out here, with three of the best European golfers in the world right now finishing 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, great karma too. This seems to happen every time there are LIV bombshells, is that the tournament in question becomes immediately amazing and the drama just produces itself. And lo and behold, the best names were there on the leaderboard with Rahm and Rory and Lowry. And Lowry got it done in style, just a ball striking clinic on Sunday when he needed it the most. And it capped off a very interesting week at the flagship event of the DP World Tour. Obviously, there's more events to go as they continue their race to Dubai, which will follow. Glad to see that tournament went well in the end. We've scraped the LIV drama to the side. It'll pop up again, of course, in a few weeks' time, and we'll be back to rehearse this conversation again. But nonetheless, a week was had on the DP World Tour. Quick shout out to what they're doing next week, Mike, at the Italian Open. Let's talk about another example of DP World Tour growing the game for the right reasons. Italian Open, Mike, ticket prices, €0 to go.
There we go.
Free golf. Rory's in the field. Free golf. Yep. If you want to see the DP World Tour in Italy, it's up to you. Do it.
Free golf is good golf. That's how you do it. I mean, you can practically see LIV Golf for free because giving away tickets for $1, and they'll
shout out the promo codes.
They're going to be in Chicago this weekend, so actually they're back up and going this weekend as well. I'd much rather see golf in Italy for free than see golf in Chicago for free.
All right, so there you go. I mean, you can lay your allegiances wherever you want out there. But if you want to support the true growth of the game from the DP World Tour, you're going to flip on the Italian Open this weekend. Should be a good watch.
Yeah, definitely. The LPGA was in action this weekend as well. And how many birdies have you ever had in a row to finish a round, Alex?
That's a good question. I did not go back to back on our trip. I've gone back to back a couple of times in the past, about maybe 15 or 20 rounds, which is interesting. I'm starting to make a lot more birdies. I don't think I've ever had the turkey. I've never made three in a row. So it's really just two birdies in a row for me. What about you?
How about five? Is that like just out of the question
that
entirely?
That will never be happening. I can confidently say that will never happen in my life, unfortunately.
Okay, because Allie Ewing had five straight birdies on the back nine Sunday, went 765 to win the Kroger Queen City Championship in Cincinnati.
Like that. Very cool. Yeah. And shout out to Haley Hunter, a recent guest of the show. She was doing commentary while walking inside the ropes for 12 hours a day on ESPN Plus. And she did a really good job on the call there. And clutch stuff from Allie Ewing. Again, these gaudy LPGA stats reminding me that I'm never going to hold a candle to anything that anyone on the LPGA, let alone the PGA Tour, could do with their golf game. And five birdies, yet another example of that.
Indeed. The PGA Tour this week did hand out some hardware. It was the Player of the Year award handed out during College Game Day. It's just interesting that Texas had such a big role in the world of golf this weekend. And Scottie Scheffler was given it on camera. He seemed very surprised. I think he was more surprised that he got it there than that he was maybe really getting it. So Scottie Scheffler, PGA Tour Player of the Year, PGA Tour Rookie of the Year, and Korn Ferry Player of the Year. He's won all three awards, the only player to win all three awards.
Very cool. That's a nice little trifecta there. And did it all in fast time as well, too. Yes. And that run in the spring was the ultimate heater. You know, there were other players that you could argue for Tour Player of the Year, but that spring run to get him to the number one spot, which, by the way, he is not really relinquished at all since he's ascended the top, was impressive.
So. He may not have won since then, but he's contended and he's played very well and he's been consistent in the big events. So that's,
I mean, just, you remember that. I mean, we were just running through the spring. I mean, it was Waste Management. It was Bay Hill. I saw it live at the Match Play, and then the Masters crescendo was just, that was the heater of heaters in the last several years in golf.
It really was. It was pretty had great perseverance, as we might say, on the first tee.
Oh yeah, shout out to our friends at the First Tee. Yeah, check out firstteeaustin.com and be sure to donate to your local First Tee. We love growing the game, starting with the youth as well too.
Let's look ahead to the weekend, because it's time to start the 2022-2023 PGA Tour season. It is here. They're headed to Napa Valley for the Fortinet Championship.
Yep.
And Max Homa, reigning champion, he's done very well this past year. I think we could say he's maybe had a, do you think he's had a breakout kind of season, maybe at least in terms of play on the course?
I'd say so. He's what now, 31, I think I just saw in an article the other day, and he's got four under his belt, four PGA Tour wins, and they've come at some impressive places. And this was a unique one last year. I remember, obviously, kind of now that we get into the fall, a lot of these tournaments do get overshadowed a bit by football season and everything else going on in the sports world. But not only is this the birth of a new season and opportunities like Max Homa and your mid-tier players to grab wins, we're going to see a whole boatload of fresh faces go from the Korn Ferry Tour that just got their cards. And then this is their official game one, week one, moment one of a lot of their PGA Tour careers.
That's right. And it's also the last tune-up before the President's Cup. That's plural presidents, not possessive presidents. It always throws me off. I don't know about you. So I don't know if there's, you know, we'll see how many guys actually end up playing through the weekend and trying to tune their game up for the President's Cup.
So. Homa, Hideki in the field, Ricky Fowler in the field, Webb Simpson, nothing too crazy. I will shout out friend of the show, Taylor Montgomery, though, making his debut as a PGA Tour member officially. You and I know he's played in tour events and he's played in majors, but this is his debut as a member. Texted him good luck this week, talked a little wine with him. And I'm very impressed to see, Mike, he's going off at 50-1 odds to win. That is a lot of respect from the odds makers in Vegas for him to hoist the trophy in his debut. So people know the Taylor Montgomery story, and he'll be a player to watch this week.
Are you saying let when your picks come out on Wednesday, there's going to be a dollar down on Taylor Montgomery? Is that
probably
what you're saying?
Yep, probably. He'll be in my Biv View of picks. Check out Course Life One on Twitter. You're at MWRINC with your takes as well. And runyourpool.com weekly. I'll have my article out where you can read all about my thoughts for weekly PGA Tour previews there as well.
Let's switch over to Tuned In, where we share what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. I have some exciting news on behalf of my wife.
Yeah, you teased this, of course. Your wife doing more important things than you. Go ahead.
Always. What's next? I mean she's got a couple films right now that are working through the festival circuits. She's a documentarian. Mm-hmm. One in particular that has shown at the Big Sky Film Festival out in Montana. It's shown at the Miami Film Festival down in Florida. Is shown at a couple others as well. And we can now officially share that it also is in the New Orleans Film Festival coming up in the beginning of November.
You joining for the travels?
I'm really excited for this one. We did go together up to Macon when it was at the Macon Film Festival. New Orleans, obviously a much bigger festival. This is a big deal. This is the third Oscar qualifying festival that they have gotten into with this film called Daniel and Nate, about a youth caregivers, in this case about one youth caregiver who's caring for his brother who has low functioning autism. It's a really powerful film, really awesome. So if you're in New Orleans, come on the first week, end of November, and you want to come check it out. They don't have their screening schedule up yet. We don't know when exactly it's going to be showing. It'll be showing sometime around there. Check it out. It's going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, so you're heading to New Orleans. I've spent just one crazy weekend there, you know, the stereotypical tourism, Bourbon Street-filled, booze-induced weekend. I did get in some amazing food. I'm curious what your agenda is going to look like, though. What's on your pit stop list here?
I mean, I think Café Du Monde is going to be somewhere on that list for sure. I don't know, you know, it's only 2 days that I'm going to be there, really, so I don't know how much time I'm going to have and where we're going to be and how it's all going to work out, but I am hoping to enjoy some really awesome New Orleans food.
Good. Everyone out there, be sure to hit us up on Twitter. He's at MWRINC. Inundate him with really good restaurant suggestions so that way he feels super guilty about not getting to any of them.
Exactly.
And maybe getting to one.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. What were you tuned into this week?
Yeah, I mean, it's the hype around the fall. You have to manufacture it when you live in Texas. The temperature has gone from 100 degrees to 95 degrees now as we've turned the clock to September.
It's cooling down. It's chilling all fast.
Which is basically fall. The season is a mindset here. So I need to get into the fall spirit. And thankfully, this week was the debut of one of our favorites. We love talking about the Baking Championship series on Food Network. The Halloween Baking Championship premiered. Amazing judges, Zach Young, Carla Hall, the whole crew back. And it was just good to see some Halloween baking creations. And it kind of gave me all the fall vibes I needed to, despite it being a million degrees out here.
I mean, I don't like pumpkin flavored stuff, but I do like apple flavored stuff. So,
yeah, I mean, those are like the two like pillar food theme sets and flavor themes. Are you're either going with some variation of pumpkin chocolate, mix it in how you can, or it's the cinnamon apple nutmeg, you know hit those notes real hard, and you get a lot of inspiration off that. And I would highly recommend that if you're just looking for the fall vibes, looking to get into the thoughts of the season, check out Halloween Baking Championship on Food Network.
All right, let's get into this week's guest. We're super fortunate to have our friend Chrissy with the Hyatt Regency Tamaya help us with our entire trip there just two weeks ago. Was that it? It was only 2 weeks ago. It feels like it was only yesterday, Alex.
It was. Yeah.
And we were able to also sit down and chat with her while we were there. And she has some really unique perspective on the property and its involvement in the community here at the Santa Ana Pueblo.
Definitely. That was unique to hear because typically, you know, when you go to a large brand property or destination like a Hyatt, you don't really think of them having the connection that they did not only to their community, but the locals, the Pueblo. We get into the region, everything that's beautiful about it. And yes, there are a little bit of conversation about the Bachelorette filming, which took place there about a year or so ago as well, too. So some fun tidbits from Chrissy at the property there.
And we'll get to that conversation with Chrissy in just a moment. First, let's talk, as we always do right now, about our official on-course betting app, D3, dollar, dollar, dollar. It's a super easy app to use on your phone. It's super easy to download. You throw a couple bucks in there. It gets turned into coins. And then you play against your friends, your family, anyone you want to out there. And you can play against them in person when you see them on the golf course. Or you can play against them virtually. No matter where they are, you play your course. They play their course. The app adjusts for handicap and course difficulty and all that fun stuff. And spits out some scores and decides who's actually the best player at that particular time.
It's great, and it's functional, and it's the D3 golf app, so be sure to check it out today if you want to play along or against us in a local or remote match. Again, check out the D3 golf app and join us on the course, and let's get into the action. All right, next up on the tee, we're live from the Hyatt Regency Tamaya Resort. We've had an amazing weekend here in New Mexico, and we're joined by the Director of Sales, Marketing Events for the property, Chrissy Smith. Chrissy, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much to you for coming down to take a visit.
Thank you so much for having us. You've been an amazing host this whole time. I want to set the stage and just talk about where we're located and how this location makes it unique for visitors between the river and the mountains and this beautiful setting. What makes the Hyatt Regency Tamaya property so unique as a setting?
Absolutely. It's such a special place, as hopefully you're experiencing and will witness over the next couple of days. We are located on the Santa Ana Pueblo. The resort encompasses about 550 acres of their land. And really, in developing the resort, they wanted to stay true to their roots and have it feel like you're being welcomed into their home. So in many ways, the resort's modeled after the traditional Pueblo. You know, we rather than calling our lobby a lobby, it's set up and designed to be more of a living room setting for a great place to network and gather and such. We have some local kivas, which are a gathering place in the native land.
Yeah.
And you'll see that with our cultural center, as well as our one of our pools. So there are little subtleties throughout the resort that represent the Santa Ana Pueblo and their culture that makes it really special. In addition, we're a little bit off the beaten path, about 25 minutes north of Albuquerque en route to Santa Fe. So you can really kind of come out here and let all of the everyday worries go and just relax and enjoy the resort. Or if you want to venture out, we've got some great, world-class destinations nearby that you can visit.
Very cool. So we're here kind of more from a golfing perspective, but we're enjoying all the amenities. Just run through kind of what golfers can expect when they're having a trip here. There's more than one course available to them, and there's lots of amenities surrounding golfers. And it's actually very convenient for golfers as well. Explain how golf packages work for guests here.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you witnessed today, we have a beautiful Twin Warriors golf course,
beautiful.
A lovely high mountain desert golf course. That's really world-class, and that's just steps away, or our valet can take you up there in their little golf cart to enjoy a great day out there. In addition, we have the Santa Ana course located just a few steps away from the resort. So in addition to golf, you might be traveling with your family, you might be traveling with non-golfers. There's a whole variety of activities that can keep them busy as well at the resort, whether it's relaxing at the pool, going to our Tommy Amos Spa, enjoying some delicious Southwestern cuisine.
Done that. Yep.
Going for, a nature walk or a bike ride through the Bosque, which is our cottonwood forest that lines the Rio Grande River. Or if you want to get a little more adventurous, we have our stables at Tamaya, where you can go out for a trail ride. You can do a stretch and ride experience, which is a little bit like horse yoga. The list goes on. There's so much to do here at the resort that you really don't need to venture out if you don't want to.
Yeah, and it's very outdoor centric, which I like. It definitely encourages a lot of outdoor activity. And I'd love to talk a little bit more about the horseback riding experience specifically. It's something that everyone has to do when they come here. Tell everyone about what that experience is like, where they go throughout the trails, and what they get to experience on a day on a horse.
The stables at Tommy are really a special place. Not only do you have all of these beautiful animals that are out there excited to take you out on a trail ride, but you've also got a few goats, chickens, some cows, and the majority of those animals have been adopted and rescued.
Oh, wow.
So, we have the stables there to get the horseback riding in, but about probably 10 to 12 years ago, Connie Cullis, who is the director of our stables and owner, came to the resort and asked if we would consider helping her fulfill a dream of hers and allow her to have a horse rescue program. And that's how this vision came to life down there, to encompass horse rescues. They now have over 65 rescue horses that they've adopted for a variety of reasons. People's life changes, that they can no longer accommodate the horse, whether they were neglected, abandoned, a whole variety of reasons. They get the horses in, all types of conditions, and their goal is to rehabilitate them, train them. Hopefully they can then become a trail riding horse to help pay their way.
Yeah.
But if not, they've got a beautiful location to live out a happy life in a safe environment.
That's very unique, because your average horseback riding experience doesn't incorporate that rescue and a compassionate effort that you guys are putting forth with
right.
The program. So it sets you apart for sure. And it's a very unique feature. I encourage anyone to check that out. As far as what the resort does for the community, we talked a little bit earlier, and it's very intriguing how the property interacts specifically with the community and everyone who's already been here natively. Talk to me about just how giving Hyatt Regency Tamaya has been. You wouldn't typically think that a Hyatt corporate property would act so locally and be invested so locally in the community, but how's that done for you?
Again, it's a very special and unique opportunity that we were presented at Hyatt. About 25 years ago, the resort concept started to begin to get designed, and Hyatt was selected as the hotel company to manage the property for the Santa Ana Pueblo.
Mm-hmm.
And in partnership, the resort was developed. And, while it's owned by Santa Ana Pueblo, you have everything that you know that you'll get at a Hyatt experience at our resort, from the service, the amenities, and things like that. All of the profits obviously go to the Santa Ana Pueblo, and it's really great to see some of the things that they've done with the revenues from their business entities, from creating a wellness center it's a state of the art to, you know, encourage a healthy living for their members, as well as, you know, creating a linguistics program to make sure they keep their native cultural language alive, etc.
Very cool. Again, we're joined by Chrissy Smith. She directs sales marketing events at the Hyatt Regency Tamaya. This has been an unbelievable COL placation. The Course Life podcast has had an amazing opportunity to tour the property, play the courses. Let's talk about just what a few kind of different weekend or trips look like for different types of parties that are coming to visit the resort property. Give us an example of, say, what maybe a family weekend look like. If there's a family that's here and they've got young kids and they're coming on the property for the first time for a few days and a few nights, what are they looking to get involved in?
You know, for families, it's a great opportunity that you can, obviously, we've got three pools, so there's a great opportunity to relax and have fun, especially, you know, some end of summer fun right now at the pools. We have cultural activities that are fun for all ages, whether it's jewelry making, or you could do some, enjoy some native Indian bread with our Indian bread baking.
Very
and
cool.
Let me tell you, with the flavored butters and jams and such that are along with it, it's delicious.
That sounds great.
Relaxing by the pools. Or, you know, you can take the bikes out that we have at the resort. You need to try that while you're here and go riding through our trails. You can ride down to the stables, and whether you're going for a ride or not, enjoy petting the horses. They'd love to see you along with all the other animals that have been adopted down there.
Nice, definitely. And you can lure the kids with the s'mores at the end of the night too, which is a must over the fire pit, which
absolutely.
I already got into. Yeah.
And then on special nights, we do have our storyteller, who passes down great stories from generations. And it's how they keep their culture alive, you know. He'll talk about sitting around the fire with his grandfather, listening to these stories. And they really teach some great life stories and things that are important in, you know, being a good person.
Love that. So. Yeah, that's the family perspective. For the golf perspective, we're living it right now, and it's definitely, you can get in at least 36 holes. You can go to all the 19th holes here and have amazing dining experiences while you're working on your game. But one other aspect I wanted to check in on regarding the resort specifically, as I was walking through the pools, I saw a wonderful event space. Tell me about larger group events, weddings, celebrations, and how those can be done on property as well.
You know, it's a great location, whether it be for a social event, a wedding celebration, or a group event. You know, again, we're not your traditional downtown property. We have a lot of outdoor venues. We have 25,000 square feet of indoor space, as well as our unique venues outside. You mentioned near the pools, we have our Hummingbird Garden, which is an outdoor venue. Right adjacent to is the Oxbow Pool, where you can hold a reception and go into a dinner. We have two very different ceremony sites for the weddings, whether it's overlooking the Sandia Mountains and that beautiful view, or a little bit more secluded and private out in our cottonwoods at the Cottonwood Pavilion and gazebo. So, and then for your corporate group, you know, there's all kinds of team building activities, cultural activities you can incorporate in if you'd like, and great unique venues. And I think really important, more so than ever, is all the outdoor options that are out there. People really want to be outdoors. In the fresh air and enjoying that.
See, if I was a boss and I was putting a corporate gig together, I would pick this place mainly because there's really not a lot of nearby distractions that everyone can get into, and they can enjoy their time right on the property
as
well.
That is true. That's definitely true.
So you definitely have that going for you. Very cool. Chrissy Smith, let's get to just some quick shot questions before we wrap. I want to hear about a few more unique aspects to the resort. And one thing that came up in the last couple of years, which a lot of pop culture fans know about, is obviously the filming of The Bachelorette, which happened at the resort for Katie Thurston's season. I'm just very curious in terms of the process for how that came about. Was that you reaching out to someone or ABC reaching out to you? How did everything come about with the filming of that season?
You know, it was quite an experience. It was fast and furious, but it was really pretty exciting during what was a really difficult time for everyone.
Right in the middle of, obviously
right
everything going on.
COVID makes it tough for a production like that to safely film their season. Makes it tough for a resort like us to be operating with, you know, limited travel out there.
Yeah.
And we actually received the lead, our PR company received the lead and passed it on to see if we'd be interested. And from there, we submitted a proposal. We then did a couple of site tours. The first one was a virtual site so they could experience the site and the property. From there, we had some on-property site visits, and we're about 3 weeks later, probably, selected as a destination for season 17 with Katie Thurston. So it was pretty spectacular to host a bubble environment where the only guests at the resort for the entire filming of the season was the production team and cast for The Bachelorette. And we had a great time partnering with them and watching that show really come to life.
From your perspective, how much did you even get to see, or did the production just come in and just kind of take over where they did? What was some interesting behind the scenes thing that you noticed throughout the process?
You know, I think it was interesting to see just how quickly they could come in and bring the show to life.
Yeah.
We did see a little bit of the filming here and there. At the same time, I need to make sure I was getting my everyday job done.
Oh, yes. Right. That's right. That too. Yeah.
And we saw some, we saw some great stuff, you know, and lots of opportunities, unique experiences that they could take advantage of throughout the filming of the season.
Very cool. It was neat to see the property presented amazingly. And I love being here. I'm recreating some of the moments myself with my wife as well, too, while we're enjoying our time. So it's been a lot of fun to see.
You know, it's fun watching guests when they're like, I think that might be where they arrived.
We've only done that about seven times so far in the first 24 hours. So Mike will have to start the counter for how many more times we referenced The Bachelorette, but it'll certainly be a lot. And it was neat to see for sure.
So I'm a Bachelor Nation fan as well as a golfer.
Absolutely. Yep. I'm very well-rounded, as you can see.
Only him, though. Only him.
My co-host might not be claiming that as well. So, but Tamaya. What's the correct pronunciation so we can set the record straight?
Tamaya.
Yeah. Okay, Tamaya. Good. I want to be sure.
It's the Hyatt Regency Tamaya, and Tamaya translates to a quiet and special place, which it truly is. Such a special place to come and really visit.
Nice. And what's your favorite view on the property? Could be anywhere in a unit or anywhere walking around.
You know, I think my favorite view is just walking around. You have the backdrop of the Sandia Mountains. You get that from all angles throughout the property. But then again, when I go down by the stables, you've got the views of the Tayuna Mesa. You turn around, there are the Sandia Mountains. You've got the beautiful horses and such. So there's no bad view here at the resort.
Nice. Easier questions. What's your go-to maybe drink order if you have a day off and you're poolside at the building?
Oh, I don't know. I think you need to give a try of our green chili margarita.
Yes. I did pass on that for honey lavender last night, but I'll have to revisit that before the trip is over.
Well, and the honey lavender margarita is a great one as well. They utilize the honey from our beehives, so it's Tamaya honey.
Oh, man. That's as local as it gets right there. Love that. And last but not least, we love asking our 19th hole question to our guests. You can pick whichever clubhouse you want because there's a few awesome 19th holes here on property. What's your favorite meal and drink to order? Dinner time? Could be anything.
You know, I think for me, my favorite would be enjoying a drink and some snacks at the Rio Grande Lounge at the end of the day when you watch the sun come down over the Sandia Mountains and turn that beautiful watermelon pink. Great day to unwind and relax after day here at the resort.
Awesome. Chrissy, thank you so much for having us here and being a part of the show. We're looking forward to showcasing everything the property has to offer. And best of luck with that golf game as well, too. I hear we're in the budding stages right now.
Thank
right?
you. I need it.
Okay.
And we're back. Great chat there with Chrissy. You know, it was great to hear all that behind the scenes Bachelorette filming gossip from her.
Yeah, I know you were interested in the TV production angle of that too.
I'm always curious to hear about how, you know, it works behind the scenes. I know you care more about the moments and where it happened and what the people were really like. I care about the production side.
it was cool hearing that perspective. You always wonder what it's like, man, when a reality show just comes and just takes over your resort, how does that work if you're at the property? Yeah. So it's cool to uncover that. And that horse ride was definitely one of the more special points, views, vistas, moments of that trip. Just nice to just get in touch with nature and just be horsebacking. It would be a horseback riding out on the reserve. Was an absolutely beautiful scene.
It really was. It was pretty awesome. We're still posting pictures and videos and everything from our trip there, which you can find on our social media at COL Podcast on Instagram. You can find each of us there too. I'm MWRINC. He's Course of Life Alex. Make sure you punch that subscribe button on the podcast app that you're listening to us on as well, so you never miss an episode. Plus, maybe we'll take some more trips in the future. You never know. And you'll get to hear all about those too and decide that you're either highly jealous of us and you wish that you were able to do this stuff as well, or you'll decide that you hate our guts and you never want to listen to us again. Either way, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, sounds great, Mike. So what's the next trip you got planned for us?
I mean, we got a couple things. I don't want to announce anything until we didn't
right,
know
yeah,
we're
that's
doing
smart.
It.
Yeah, you got to keep the tease going. I appreciate that.
So we'll figure it out. But for now, Alex, let's talk football, because the seasons are in full swing across the professional and collegiate gamut. And let's start with what we said was going to happen this week. It was either feast or famine, and I am all in. The Giants are going all the way because Coach Double was gutsy going for two. We beat Tennessee mostly because they missed the field goal, but it doesn't matter. Giants are going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, you can do all the overreaction week one hype when you come off a W like that. It was gutsy to say the least. Brian Daboll, you mentioned it. New coach, first game, Giants down 7 late, get into the end zone with a little over a minute left, and they decide, F that, we're going for two right now. We want to win the game right here and right now. And they got it with Saquon Barkley, a guy who they needed to come through for a big play moment like that. It doesn't get any more thrilling than that. I mean, you are reserved the right to be overreacting today after a win like that. Very, very impressive stuff.
Yeah, I mean, look, you don't win the Super Bowl by losing football games or tying football games like the Texans and the Colts did in the AFC.
So sad. It's just always so sad seeing a tie in the NFL, no matter how weird it is every time.
It really was. You also don't win football games by being, let's say, the Dallas Cowboys and having your quarterback knocked out against Tom Brady.
Yeah, not great for Dak Prescott fantasy owners like myself. Not a great start for the Cowboys as well. They're already looking at backups and other options. And Tom Brady is ageless. He's a million years old. He might be fighting with his wife and on horrible terms with her, but it doesn't matter because he can still throw the football.
Yeah. How does it feel, though, to know your Patriots are 0-1?
You know, we could still have Tom Brady right now, Mike. Do you know
you
that? Could,
you might win football games with him, actually, right now. Yeah.
You know, he wasn't asking for like an extraordinary amount of money when we let him go. It really wasn't that crazy. I'm not bitter or anything. I'm just recalling it. That's all.
No. Yeah. I mean,
yes, week one, absolutely pathetic effort from the Patriots, mostly on the offensive side of the ball. And that's what the main concern was. We weren't sure who's calling plays, whether it was the inept Matt Patricia who failed as a Lions coach or the inept Joe Judge who failed as your Giants head coach.
That's right.
And it looks like it's a combination of the both. So you can imagine how that went. And they got steamrolled Miami. It's always a haunted house going to play there in Miami if you're a Patriots fan. So I'm not surprised that they came up short, but to see how short they came up offensively was definitely shocking for week one.
It was pretty surprising. I think, though, the real shocks came on the college side of the ball. Before we talk about your trip to Texas.
Oh, yes, my game day, yeah.
Before we talk about that, let's just say we were texting about this. We talked about it before we started recording today as well. My wife works at Georgia Southern University in Statesboro, Georgia, and Georgia Southern was kicking butt and taking names as they defeated Nebraska.
Wow.
At Nebraska. The Sun Belt as a whole just dominated this weekend, raking in what, like $3 or $4 million to go play in these places?
Yeah, I mean,
and then win? I mean, what is going on?
These little schools, basically in D1 football, they get paid money to just go to the big school, get their ass kicked, and go home. And that's profitable for the school, and it does help their program in the long run. However, what's great is the unexpected, is when the little guy comes in and does the butt kicking and gets paid to do it. And that's exactly what happened for your Eagles. So much so, to the point that you not only beat Nebraska, Mike, you murdered their program. Their star quarterback who won them a national championship, Scott Frost, who was their shining jewel head coach, was promptly fired the day after this game. You just absolutely desecrated the entire state of Nebraska. What were your thoughts on that?
It was pretty crazy.
You don't seem very sympathetic, it seems. Wow, unbelievable.
I mean, what do you expect here? You
crazy.
Know, this is what happens when this sort of thing happens. And it's just, again, this is what happens when Georgia Southern does something, actually goes in and gets like a good head coach. Every once in a while, these small teams are able to go out and get a good head coach. Yeah. And it's kind of what happened here, where the current head coach, Clay Helton of Georgia Southern, is from USC.
Former USC guy. Yeah, that's a good name.
So, I mean, this stuff works. This stuff works pretty well when you're able to do it. I don't know why he went from, you know, he was kicked out of USC and now he's at Georgia Southern. So I don't know how long
he did not have the greatest run at USC. But I mean, hey, listen, if he's good enough to get hired at USC, I think he's good enough to coach Georgia Southern.
Exactly. They gave him a boatload of cash, and I think they're pretty happy so far. But let's talk College Game Day. How was it? Hook'em Horns. Not so much there versus Alabama.
Point short again. Point short from the upset of the century. What would have been probably like the upset of my reign in Austin. Maybe the one of the greatest Texas football wins in 12 years here for me. I would say. Point short. But the game day experience was unbelievable. It was the rare double. So I got down to the premises, had no intention of going to the game, and did not go to the game. Did not plan on it, but. Knowing that not only, Mike, was ESPN College Game Day set there, also the Fox Big Noon kickoff set was there. So we had competing College Game Day pre-shows just about a few hundred yards from each other, created quite the atmosphere. So it was fun to check them both out. You know, you and I would be doing the same thing. I was nerding out about the camera setups and seeing how the production worked. And there were some very stark contrasts between the two as well.
Yeah, I'm sure. The big question, though, is did you watch Scottie Scheffler being handed his hardware?
And the ironic part is I literally walked away from the College Game Day set about 10 minutes before he came on. Just absolutely brutal timing. But what did end up happening is I went to the far side of the stadium, and lo and behold, the former Bachelor himself, Matt James, was asking trivia questions at the Nissan Heisman House. So I got a cool little reel that I posted on Instagram where the Bachelor asked me a trivia question. What number did Ricky Williams wear in college, Mike? Do you know that answer? Did you know that answer?
No, I don't know that. No, I don't know that.
Thank God I did. It was number 34 for the Heisman Trophy winner. So I won a shirt. I was a proud winner, and then swooped around to the noon kickoff and saw the legend Roger Clemens, Mike, the former Longhorn, Roger Clemens in attendance, the former Red Sox and Yankee was joining the Fox set there.
The former potential Hall of Famer.
Potential. Yes.
Potential.
It's not for things. Yes. But it was cool to see the Rocket out there, stars out watching the game. Scheffler was there like you saw. And it was fun. I'm glad I answered that trivia question correctly on video because that made for some good content. So check out Course of Life Alex on Instagram if you're a fan of The Bachelor and you want to see me hang out with Matt James.
And hopefully we'll see some better results in your betting previews on Run Your Pool. You're a little better.
Yeah, I take 3-2. I take 3-2 weeks, typically a handful of games, maybe a couple more, but 3-2 last week, overall sitting right around 500. So check out runyourpool.com. Again, if you want those betting tips early in the week, you want my leans, you want my thoughts on who's looking where bet-wise, check out runyourpool.com.
Let's hashtag always end with food.
Yes, let's do it. Our favorite food segment to end every Course of Life podcast episode. I told you I'm getting in the fall vibe. I sent you a picture a week ago of Target just doing the most. I'm pulling it up right now. They had sorts of fall pumpkin themed desserts on display. We're going to run through a few here, but I'm definitely going to be trying some. Mike, will you be going for the pumpkin spice Twinkies or the pumpkin spice Oreos?
Are you telling me I have to pick one? Because the answer is no, but do I have to pick one?
If you had a gun to your head, which one would you down right now?
The Oreos.
Yeah, the Oreo. Definitely, for sure. But pumpkin Reese's out in effect. Halloween-themed Junior Mints. I don't really know what those are, but I am kind of curious. And just oodles and oodles of candy corn, which brings us to the annual debate. Candy corn. Ugh. Yay or nay?
Nay. Nay.
Yeah. And my answer is yay for 2 bites a year, and then I don't need any more in my life.
You even are willing to ingest some
just
every year?
Just to be like, oh, yep, that's what candy corn tastes like. It's wax. Happy Halloween. See ya. That's it.
Well, I was not enjoying pumpkin spice anything this weekend.
What were you enjoying?
You saw the picture I posted on Instagram this weekend.
It took me a few minutes to figure out exactly what it was, but once I did, I was enamored.
I mean, this was a wild berry French toast plate of heaven, really, from the Collins Quarter at Forsyth Park here in Savannah. Went out for brunch on Sunday morning. Just one of the most... prettiest plates I think I've ever gotten for breakfast. The flour on top and everything had berries, had a mango puree, and had little white chocolate pearls, and of course some maple syrup. And I had to add some bacon on the side, nice thick cut smoked bacon. Perfect way to start the Sunday.
Dear Lord, that is a fantastic order, sir. I commend you.
If you ever make it out here, Alex, I will take you there and you can enjoy some too.
I love that. We're working on it. We're working on it behind the scenes. We'll get that done soon enough, and I will try that French toast. I will say, you know, we do all sorts of toppings and variations with pancakes, but I feel like we're not mixing up the French toast game as much as we should. So I like the wild berry French toast. That's a good plan.
It was fantastic.
For Michael, I'm Alex. That's a wrap on this week's Course of Life. Hit subscribe right now and be sure to tune in next week, and we'll see y'all next week.